This is the Iran Human Rights Podcast, a closer look at human rights issues by the International Campaign for Human Rights in Iran. In this podcast, we speak with Ali Abdi, an Iranian activist who recently started the 99 campaign, which aims to exchange messages between 99 protesters from around the world with 99 political prisoners in Iran. We find out more about this inspiring initiative coming right up. Unless you live under a rock, you've no doubt heard about the Occupy Wall Street movement, which took off in New York City in September in the form of street protests and quickly spread across the country, and even outside national borders, with its various manifestations brought together under the banner of the 99%. The movement brings together a wide range of individuals and interest groups who, although their particular grievances and struggles may vary, are all demanding equality, a fairer distribution of resources, and social and economic justice for all citizens. Well, today's guest knows a little something about fighting for your rights and movement building. Inspired by the actions taking place at the heart of New York City's financial hub, Iranian student rights and LGBT activist Ali Abdi trekked down to Sukkati Park and started talking to protesters. We started off by asking him to explain what the 99 campaign is.
This campaign 99 actually started at the Zuccotti Park in New York more than a month ago. The idea behind it is simple. It's like me and a couple of my friends around the world, Iranian ones, have decided to talk with 99 people who are engaged in the Occupy Wall Street movement worldwide. And so to listen to their stories, to know why they have joined the movement, what are their motivations, how they relate their personal lives to it, and what impacts they wish to make, and so on and so forth. And after hearing their story, we will share one story with each person. That is the story of one of the Iranian prisoners of conscience. So after this exchange of stories, we asked the person at Occupy Wall Street to send a message to and make a poster for that prisoner. And while he or she is holding the poster, we take a picture of that person. Then this picture and the two stories, the story of the activist at Wall Street and also that prisoner, are uploaded on campaign's website and Facebook page.
Okay, so the campaign started off in New York City, but just like the Occupy movement, it expanded to other areas. What other cities have been participating in this action?
Now cities like Paris, London, Washington, New Haven, Toronto, Montreal, Barcelona, Torino, and a couple of other cities have been engaged, and we expect more cities to join actually and take responsibility for one of the stories. So to complete this chain of 99 stories globally.
So are the prisoners in Iran ever able to hear these messages?
Some of the family members of the prisoners are so kind to take these messages to prison. And actually, when the prisoners get out of prison, they can also read it. I would say the mission behind this campaign 99, the first and I think the most important mission, the goal was to use this global attention, which is given to Occupy Wall Street, to raise awareness about Iranian pro-democracy green movement and prisoners of conscience.
In addition to raising awareness, as you've just mentioned, what are the other objectives of this campaign?
The campaign shows connection between emancipatory movements worldwide. So, as you know, the Green Movement inspires Arab Spring, and Arab Spring, as many people believe, inspires the Occupy Wall Street. And the campaign 99, I think, shows that although people are suffering for different reasons, I don't know, to be the greed of corporations or fundamentalism or undemocratic governments, in different contexts, and the cost that people pay for the resistance is different, but the nature of people suffering and resistance are the same. I think Campaign 99 will also not let Islamic Republic misuse Occupy Wall Street for its own propaganda and ideological purposes, because these days, at least in the last months, there were protests of besieges these pro-government semi-militia groups in the streets of Tehran in support of Occupy Wall Street. So when the Occupy Wall Street protesters hold pictures of Iranian prisoners of conscience, they clearly send this message that although they are against U.S. domestic and foreign policies, they simultaneously condemn Islamic Republic atrocities and cruelties. So Islamic Republic officials actually cannot hijack the Occupy Wall Street for their own purposes as well.
How have the protesters that you've talked to responded to these stories of Iranian prisoners? And were many of them aware of what's actually going on over there?
Their responses have been beyond my expectations. This is not what I expected actually when I started the project, because most of them, as you know, do not personally know the prisoners. But I think after listening to their stories, it is enough to cause the Occupy Wall Street activists to experience some emotional moments. For instance, the 34th story, which was uploaded on campaign's website, is about a Kenyan activist called Karanja. And he sends a message to Majid Tavakkali, you know, one of the iconic figures of Iranian student movement, who is now in jail. And in part of his message, he says that he feels that we, which means Karanja and Majid Tavakkali, are fighting for the same movement, and they're fighting for human dignity. And Karanja pauses on this word human dignity for a moment, and then he cannot actually control his tears. Some of the people to whom I talk, while they were sending this message from New York to thousands of miles away to Tehran, they started crying. They were looking at the picture of that prisoner, and they could not control their tears. But it's not just about expressing these emotional feelings. You know, many of the activists at Occupy Wall Street are aware that these connections between dissidents worldwide exist. And some of them even mentioned that this global emancipatory movement for justice first started in Iran. So to give much credit to the bravery of Iranian people. And they ask questions how they can show their solidarity, how they can help, because after all, as that Kenyan activist, I would say, puts it, it's the same fight for justice and for human dignity.
Okay, so clearly the personal stories are resonating with a lot of the Occupy protesters. How about the other way around? Have you been able to witness or learn about the response of some of the protesters to whom the messages were sent?
Many people are now aware of is the case of Ziaun Nabavi. Ziaun Nabavi, he is a student activist and who is sentenced to spend in prison to 8 years, I think, or 10 years, you know, because of the number of the students. Sometimes you forget how many years each student is sentenced to spend time in prison. He's now spending his time in Ahvaz, in a prison there, so not in Evin prison, but about 1,000 kilometers away from the capital. And he actually, from the prison, responds to Alan's message, who sent a message to him from New York. There were a couple of people in the city of Ahvaz who took Alan's message to Ahvaz prison, and Zia read it. The messages can't necessarily go through prison, but fortunately it has happened. And I hope in the coming weeks, more answers or more replies would come out of Iranian prisons.
That was Ali Abdi of the 99 campaign. We'll close out this podcast with a small excerpt from the exchange between Alan and Zia. You can find the full messages on the 99 campaign's website.
I am from Seattle, Washington, and I flew all the way for this. I am here fighting for the return of fundamental consumer protections to student loans. All the fundamental protections that we had in America for loans have been taken away from student loans uniquely. I think issues such as gender equality, environmental issues, social issues, while they are important, I don't think that they are the driving force of this movement. But the economics, the lending corruption, and the greed are the issues we're fighting against. Hello, Zia. Let me tell you, my friend. You are obviously fighting much more difficult battles than we are here in the United States, and we appreciate your leadership. and we obviously have to learn from your courage and commitment. And I would say, stay strong. You are truly a hero. I hope this message will help sustain you in times of oppression. I hope someday we can meet and shake hands as free men.
Dear Alan, thank you for your kind message. I have to admit, I was quite delighted to receive it, but I am hesitant on how to respond. I haven't experienced your condition, so I don't have an exact perception of your situation. As you may know, in Iran, many like me are fighting to gain rights like the right to choose, the right to freedom of speech, or the right to education. And these rights come naturally to you, so you might even be taking them for granted. In my opinion, the condition I'm in is not heroic, and the fact that I should spend 10 years in prison for defending the right to education sounds like a stupid joke or a nightmare to me. Although, I have to say, even if this life is a dream, I think it's worth trying to make it better. Whether I'll ever live in a free society or not, I'm honestly not sure. You can never be certain about the future. However, right now, while I'm writing this message, I'm at least certain that there are sparks of this freedom inside every relationship which is empty of fear and prejudice. And this is why I'm drawn to connecting with people.
That's all for this edition. For more on the 99 Campaign, you can check out their website at 99campaign.com. For more news about human rights issues in Iran, visit our website at iranhumanrights.org. Join us next time for the Human Rights Podcast. Thanks for listening.